Our family is indeed a family of traditions. And one tradition for many years was that I would pick my children up, my boys up from school on the last day of school, along with our third son, their best friend, Lee. We would travel to Cashers, North Carolina, and play 18 holes at a beautiful course called High Hampton. Then drive over the mountain to Franklin and enjoy a dinner at an Italian restaurant named Lucio's, and then go from there to a hotel where they could enjoy the indoor pool and watch the NBA basketball game. This was a tradition that went on for several years, and we had followed it to the T. Picking up from school, golf, dinner, pool, game, bed. I have two sons, many of you know. One is short and the other is very tall. They're twins. One twin was in the bed with his friend. They were asleep. And I was in bed with the tall one. And suddenly, in the dead of night, he sits up in the bed and mumbles something. Mark, what? No, what? Speak clearly. And he looked at me with this look of terror and anguish on his face and said, I'm late for an exam. And he starts to rise out of bed. And I put a restraining hand on him and push him back and say, Mark, school's out. It's over. You're free. And this grin splits his entire face and he falls back in bed, dead asleep. I look at the clock. It's 2:22 a.m. He's asleep. But my mind is now alive. Because what I have just said to him is the very essence of the gospel. We live our lives burdened by the memory of our failures. We're haunted by the guilt of how we've fallen short. We think of the virtue that we're meant to live: faith, hope, love, forbearance, fortitude, patience. We think of how we've fallen short of those goals. We think of how we've fallen short of the high calling of Christ. And we think we're meant to earn God's acceptance. When the truth is, God says to us what I said to Mark. You're free. You're free. You're already accepted. You are justified not through your righteousness, but through the very righteousness of Christ. You are free. The admissions office has already ruled. You're in. We think we have to burnish our resumes. We think we have to live such good deeds to earn God's acceptance. No. You're already accepted. You're free. The reason we live lives of virtue is not to earn God's acceptance. Rather, it is to live out of gratitude for the fact God has already accepted us. God has already freed us through Jesus Christ. And so, out of joy and gratitude, we live lives of love, hope, joy, peace, fortitude, forbearance, courage, idealism. We don't live virtue to earn God's love. God already loves us. We're free. I share with you an image from my vacation. Another tradition of sorts, I suppose. I have an old car, an old truck, and it hauls an old boat. And every year when I get it back to home and I unleash that old boat from that old truck, I can almost feel that old truck go, the burden has been lifted. How many of us claim that theological truth, that the burden of our guilt and our sin has been lifted? How many of us go through life haunted by how we've fallen short, never claiming that freedom? Paul says it in one sentence. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you hear that? No condemnation. You're free. In Christ Jesus, you have been made free. Paul says, when you set your mind on the flesh is death. But when you set your mind on the Spirit, that is life and peace. How profoundly do we truly claim that message? You are free. There is no condemnation for those of us in our Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we come to communion. We don't earn this communion through our resume, through our good deeds, through our acts of kindness. We have already earned it through the righteousness of Christ. All of our love and gratitude flows out of this fundamental freedom. We are free to commune with each other. We are free to commune with God because God has acted. And God bids us grasp in the depths of our souls the reality of our freedom. You are accepted. You are embraced by God. And you are invited to participate in His table and share the love and the encouragement and the freedom it represents. For I received from the Lord, but I also delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in My blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. And as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." I invite you to participate this morning in the Lord's table. I remind you it is not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. And anyone and everyone who claims Christ as Savior is invited to partake of the Lord's table. As you have heard in the Scriptures, our Lord, trying to convey the depth and the cost of divine love, took one of the elements of their simple meal and He broke it. And then He said to His disciples, "This is My body. What happens to this bread is what happens to Me. So in the future when you eat it in remembrance of Me." But having broken this bread, our Lord, give thanks. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that indeed you commune with us, that you have sent your Son that he might give us freedom and liberty, that he might, through his love, win our acceptance, so that all we need do is to claim your acceptance of us. We rejoice in this truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, around that table and around the world, take and eat, this is my body. Again, using the simplest of symbols to convey the most profound of truths, our Lord took the wine, poured it into the cup, and said, this is my blood. This symbolizes my blood shed for you. When you drink it in remembrance of my love. But even in the face of this violent image, our Lord gave thanks. But we rejoice there is indeed no condemnation for us, because you have freed us. You have freed us for lives of virtue, freed us to live with a profound gratitude for each day and for each blessing. May we turn our blessings into blessings for others, that your name might be glorified. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. To engage in this supper is to engage in a profession of faith. And so as we take this element of the supper, I invite you to say the words with me, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus said, "This is my blood shed for the remission of your sins. Drink ye all of it. Jesus Christ is Lord." As you know, that simple dinner was the prelude to betrayal, to arrest, to torture, to death. But with an eye looking beyond all of that negativity, with a resurrection vision, our Lord asked his disciples to do something that day that we have been doing ever since: singing a song. We invite you to respond to the invitation inherent in this meal to come claim Christ as Savior, to come claim membership in this fellowship, to come even as we stand to sing together.